So let's just dive into the word. Let's continue on that series we started a few months ago, or well, weeks ago. So we're trying to examine the doctrine of praise and worship, and one of the things we've done in recent time is to pay attention to the conventional use of words in our world, and also scriptural use of words from the scriptures, basically from the Bible. We've looked at the use of word worship, the use of word praise, we've looked at the use of word blessed, we've looked at the use of word, we have blessed, you have riches, and we've gone through scriptures, we've gone through the teachings of Jesus, gone through the teachings of the epistles, tried to explain how the word blessed was used, for instance, and we said, the word blessed has two meanings across the writings of the apostles and Jesus' teaching, and primarily it could either mean to be, you know, to be fortunate, or to speak well or say well, right? To speak well, say well. You know, we looked at riches as well, and we said there's such a thing called riches to God and riches to man, and every believer is rich towards God, but not every believer is rich towards man. What I mean is, when man puts their yardstick for measuring riches, not every believer will fit into that, right? But when God puts his yardstick, I mean, we see the yardstick of Jesus, of God, measuring riches, and we see that every single believer qualifies for that. So it's very important to know that, you know, there's a Bible way, or the Bible words that are used in Bible ways, and there are words that we use in our world right now. However, it would just be good that before you transpose a word or use of a teaching into your world, it's good to sit in their world, yeah, to see how they saw it, and to pay attention to what they perceived, to pay attention to what they understood, to pay attention to what they did not understand, and to pay attention to really generic use of words in their world. I mean, in their world, I mean the world of those who will be in scriptures. Yeah, so we've tried to pay attention to a few things over the last few weeks, and then we said worship particularly would often, you know, speak about sacrifice, you know, even though in our world, worship is used for slow songs. Yeah, so difference between praise and worship to an average person, or maybe a believer, so to say, might be, you know, worship is slow songs, worship speaks about slow songs, then praise will speak about the high, you know, high tempo songs that people can move their body to and, you know, speak about. And we've come to try to explain that you see, everything we say that is good about what God has done, that is good, is actually what you call praise. And praise just really means to speak well. You know, it means to, you know, to commend that which is commendable, to render commendation to that which is commendable. Yeah, so we looked at the narrative of the the lot, the table of Jesus and disciples breaking bread, and we saw, said a few things about it on Sunday, but we didn't pay attention to it as much, right? So one of the things again we noticed was that their singing was usually done from a place of knowledge, and not usually, not just an emotional response. What do I mean? Look at Acts 5 verse 14. I need to go there. Yeah. Ooh, look at Acts 5:40. Are you there? All right. So he says, and to him, if you go all the way to, I don't want to, you know, go back. But look at verse 38. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it. All right? Lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. Now verse 40 says, and to him they agreed, and when they had called the apostles and beaten them. Right? So did they beat the apostles? Yes. right? Why did they beat the apostles? It's not the one that somebody will go and steal and you say they beat you because you stole, and you're saying because they beat the apostles. No, you must find out why did they beat the apostles, right? You know, sometimes we go through things in life and we just call it persecution, and you know, there's some things that are just can be avoided. You know, there are actions that can be avoided and it will save you a lot. In fact, it will save you a lot of things. There are words that can be said that, I know sometimes we say things, we do certain things, and a few seconds down the line, sometimes you see, you regret it. And that's why there's always that space to think before you talk or think before you do anything. You know, so if someone steals something and is a believer or a pastor, or even let's even assume he's an apostle, and he's beaten and he was caught and he was beaten, that would be unfair to go to Acts 5 and say that they beat the apostle, so they beat me, so we're, no, it's not the same beating. See, there's beating for the gospel and there's beating for being carnal. You get that, right? Anyway, so what I'm saying, right, so they beat the apostles, right? You know, a lot of times people would have thought that, why would they beat the apostles? Why didn't they just put their hands on the floor and disappeared and just went into another world? Yeah, well, look at 2 Timothy. Let me give a quick answer to that quickly. Look at 2 Timothy quickly and go all the way to chapter 3. If you go to chapter 3, 2 Timothy chapter 3, if you go all the way, ooh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Yeah, if you go all the way to verse 10, 2 Timothy 3, verse 10, just go all the way to verse 10, 2 Timothy 3, 10. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions. Right, so did Paul go through afflictions? Yes, we saw that on Sunday or 2 Sundays ago when he spoke about that to the Philippians, and he said only the Philippians communicated with his affliction, you know, the way they did. Yeah, so it means that man can be in Christ, right, and go through things. So Paul will say, oh my, you know about patience, my charity, persecution, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. He says, this persecution I endured. So what should be your response to persecution? Endurance. What did Paul do to persecution? He endured persecution. Right? What is your response to persecution? You endure persecution. Are we together? Can a believer be persecuted? Yes. So what should a believer not do when he's persecuted? My God will rise up on his throne. And if I give you 7 days, no. Yeah. What did Paul do? Paul endured persecution. Right, what is the example we see? Paul endured persecution. You see, there's a difference between enduring persecution and going right in the middle of persecution just so you can have the name I endured persecution. No, yeah, so persecution came onto him, I was together, for the sake of the gospel, right, and he endured. Right, so there's no instruction in the Bible to give a man who is persecuting you for the work of the gospel, I give you 7 days to live. If I be a man of God, yeah, no, you don't see that template in the life of Jesus and the apostles. You know, the closest example you'll see will be when they wanted to call down fire, just like Elijah did. Did you get that right? And Jesus rebuked them in Luke 9. You can look at that, Luke 9 from verse 50. Okay, go all the way to Luke 9. Go all the way to Luke 9 this beautiful evening. Yeah, look at Luke 9. Yeah. So you see, my God is the God of Elijah. My God is the God of fire. You know, I've taught you over time what the fire of God does, right? Look at verse 51, Luke 9, 51. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, and he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village and of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And look at something carefully. And when his disciples, who were the disciples in context, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? So they're like, we've read the scriptures. We know the portion of the Bible that says Elijah called out fire and fire destroyed man. So, dear Jesus, can you just permit us? Just give me 2 minutes. Yeah. Can you permit me to call down fire and destroy these people who have rejected you? And look at what Jesus says in verse 55. But Jesus turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit. So were they, if you want to call what they were going through persecution, from the lens of Paul, what were they to do in the midst of persecution? They were to endure persecution. Right? I'm not teaching about persecution today, really, but I think that's very important for someone who's listening to me today. Okay, so Jesus rebukes them and he says, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's life, but to save. Are we together? Now go back all the way to 2 Timothy. Right, 2 Timothy says, he says, and this came unto me at Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, with what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Right, so is there such a thing like God deliver man from persecution? Yes, you see, and sometimes the deliverance of God out of persecution will entail you run away. Yeah, sometimes the you see supernatural deliverances or deliverance situations in scriptures, and the instruction there is flee, the instruction there is run altogether. You see, so supernatural deliverance doesn't always need to be a disappearance, right? Or doesn't always need to be, let me say that differently, and doesn't always need to be something out of the blues. Do you understand? Right? So look at it. Did God deliver Paul from persecution? Oh, yes. You know that Paul, on several occasions, faced persecution and he was delivered from those persecutions and yet faced other persecutions. Do you understand that? Yeah. So he says, yeah, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus. Look at that carefully in verse 12. Look at what Jesus and Paul says. He says, yeah, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus, that means on account of living for Christ, shall suffer persecution. Like I said, this suffering persecution is not you go and steal or you take another man's husband and another man's wife and another woman's husband, right, and they catch you and you're beaten silly, right, and you say that no, that's not what he's teaching here, right? So he says those that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall what? Suffer persecution. Look at verse 13. Evil men, seducers, shall wax worse and worse, deceiving. You see, seduction doctrinally from the writings of Paul fundamentally will not deal with provocative dressings. Yeah? Okay, if you go back all the way to chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy rather, 1 Timothy chapter 2, go all the way to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Are you there? All right, so look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. That's not what I'm looking for. No, sorry, 1 Timothy 4. Yeah, look at 1 Timothy 4 quickly. Look at 1 Timothy 4 quickly. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. Now, seducing spirit here is not going to be a lady or a man that is not dressed properly. Are we together? All right? You know that there's a doctrine of Jezebel. Are we together? And there's a doctrine of seducing that has nothing to do. So how do I say that different? Let me say that differently, right? You see, fundamentally, Jezebel's doctrine of Jezebel in scriptures is not fundamentally to teach against or teach for provocative dressing, right? Seduction will actually deal with deceiving or deception or twisting that which is not right or that which is right and making it not to be right. So eventually that now deceives, becomes evil. We'll look at that in days to come. But you see, giving heed to seducing spirits, that seducing spirit there, it says, and doctrines of devils. Do you understand? Are we together? So the seducing spirit is there, is in link or is linked or is what you mean, the doctrines of devils. Do you understand that? Right? If you go back all the way to where you were in 2 Timothy 3. Look at 2 Timothy 3. Right? Go all the way to 2 Timothy 3 and you're still there. Go all the way to verse 13. Evil men. So who will be the people, or what name will you call people teaching the doctrines of devils? Evil men. Do you understand? Evil men are seducers that teach the doctrines of devils. Look at that again. But evil men are seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving. Do you remember I just said that, right? Seducing spirit, deception, right? Doctrines of devils, that is deceiving, that is what evil men. Right, so what is the instruction to you as a believer? So it means that for starters, you would have what you call evil men that are seducing or seducers. What is the instruction to you? But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy. So what is Paul's instruction to Timothy? Continue. That is, keep your eyes on the ball. Stay fixed. Don't allow distraction. Get your eyes fixed in the midst of seducers. Did you get that? Right? So don't forget, we're in Acts 5. So go back all the way to Acts chapter 5. Right? So what did they do to the apostles? The Bible says in Acts chapter 5 that they had beaten the apostles. Look at verse 40 again. Look at verse 40. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles, they beat them. So they beat them. So this beat is not figurative. Do you understand? This beating there is not beating with words. Like, they properly beat them. Are we together? Right? And they commanded them. So the people that they beat, they told them, do not speak in the name of Jesus. Right? Do not speak in the name of Jesus again. And they let them go. So they let them go on account of the fact that they were expected not to speak in the name of Jesus. Right? Now look at verse 41 carefully. And they departed from the presence of the council. What were they doing? They were rejoicing. So it means that their action in the midst of persecution was more doctrinal than emotional. Did you see that? Right? Ideally, your emotions, when being flogged, will not tilt towards a rejoicing. Your emotions, when being flogged, will tilt towards more of the crying, in the middle of the crying, composing songs, or doing things that can make people pity you. You understand? It's just human. It's humane. It's normal. Do you get that, right? So it means that their response to the beating was not emotions. It means they didn't allow their emotions lead them or have the best of them. Now, is it possible they cried when they beat them? We don't have that record, but it's highly possible. You get that, right? Is it possible? Let's even agree that crying is for when they slap you, then flogging, when they flog you is you weep or they wept. They could have cried, wept, but you see, what your attention should go to is, what did they do after being flogged? The Bible says they departed from the presence of the council. What are they doing? They were rejoicing. They were rejoicing. See, that is why as saints, we don't allow our emotions lead us. We don't allow our emotions direct us. We don't allow our emotions be at the front. Do you understand? Because a lot of times, see, I always say this, that emotions are bad leaders, but can be good followers. Can be. Do you understand? Yeah, emotions are bad leaders, but you see, there are people who have lost several things in their lives because they allowed their emotions at the front. Do you understand that? Right? There are people who have lost, you know, friendships, relationships, even marriages, because they put their emotions in the front. You see, this is not saying you don't have an emotional side that you can tilt to. No, we are human, right? There are things that people will do to you that will get to you. Yeah, but do not allow your emotions to lead you. Don't make permanent decisions on temporary emotions. Yeah, I sound like a philosopher this beautiful evening. I don't know where that's coming from, but that's very important, right? So it means that you see at that point when they were flogged, they had the choice of saying, this Jesus said, he has finished his 40 days teaching, let's move on to why would they flog me because of Jesus? It's not me that killed Jesus. Do you understand? He has suffered for me. Yeah. Do you understand? And people have allowed their emotions get the best of them at times when their emotions should not have been leaders. Do you understand that? You see an example in scriptures. So the Bible says that they departed from the presence of the council, right? Rejoicing. So it means that whilst they were going through pain, they paid attention to the fact that they counted it worthy to suffer shame for his name. Right, they counted it worthy. That means they counted themselves privileged. Do you understand? To suffer shame for his name. They counted themselves privileged. So he says, oh wow. So they flogged them. They were in tears, possibly, or maybe not, right? And the first thing on their mind was, oh, thank you, Lord Jesus, for counting me, right, worthy to suffer shame for your name. What a heart. Do you get that? What a heart. You see, your emotions, a lot of times, you know that you rarely can have one emotion consistently all your life. Do you understand? Yeah. You see, you can try to make yourself happy every day, every time. But except you don't live in the midst of men. Yeah. Upon living in the midst of men, you will find out that men will get to you. And men will want to bring out that other part called emotions that might be bad. Right? Yeah. And that's why you see some people, right? Maybe for any reason, someone does something to them. And the first action is just, they just take it up on them, right? And just as soon as you are done taking it out, what happens? You gain your consciousness and you're like, how, why did I, right? Or somebody says something to you, right? Or you say something to someone and what you said to someone was very insulting, you know? You can't take that back, yeah? You can't take that back, right? See, if at that point you got upset, you were deliberate enough not to allow your emotions lead, in the real sense, you will not have what to regret. Yeah. So a lot of times what happens is people do extraordinary things and they use the rest of their years in their lives to regret an action of 10 seconds, an action of 5 seconds, right? But the disciples, rather than put themselves in that place where they would regret going forward, what happened? They counted themselves worthy to have suffered shame for his name. Now, guess what happened next? Verse 42. And daily in the temple and in every house, you see, they cease not to teach. You see, what was the instruction they gave them before releasing them? Do not teach. Look at verse 41 again, the end. And they commanded that they should not speak in the name. What did they do? Yeah, what did they do? They, in fact, they started in the daily. Right? And daily in the temple and in every house, they cease not to teach and to what? Preach Jesus Christ. Now, what was the effect of that? And in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied. So it means that, see, they were flogged. Yet being flogged, they realized that what matters, or they should never allow anything get in the middle of themselves and the goal that Jesus has placed in their hands. What is the goal? That the earth is filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, right? As the waters covers the sea. Are we together? So regardless of what happens, you see, you must make sure that you put your mind in a place that regardless of what happens, I will give myself to rejoicing. I'll give myself to, you know, to doing that which is the will of the Father on the earth. So they beat them, they rejoiced. So their rejoicing was not emotional based, because see, that rejoicing does not tally with somebody, with the what is expected from someone that was flogged or beating. Yeah. So what am I saying? It means your praises, right? So don't be flogged today and the worship song you sing tomorrow is something about, don't allow me, Jesus, to go empty-handed, or you know, or you sing something that is, you know, very, very, you know, you see, so you don't, I don't know about how to go about that this beautiful evening. Yeah, but don't get your emotions to fine-tune or to generate a song. Lord, you see as I'm crying. Lord, you see as I'm crying. I know I am crying. No, really. See, you are being treated badly, right? What happens? You give yourself to rejoicing. So the words you will say in your rejoicing will speak about glorification to his name, to the work he has done. Are we together? Right? Are we together? Right? See, if you take note of this, if you actually hold on to what I'm teaching you this evening, you realize that your psalms and your songs will be always 100% doctrinal. Right? Because no matter how your emotions will feel before a believer's meeting, you know that you don't allow your emotions lead you. So now can you pay attention to the finished reality or the reality of the Spirit in you after going through a very, you know, terrible experience, right? And when you are paying attention to the reality, you now get your emotions and you start crying. Oh yes, it is. Yeah, but what is that? You are allowing your emotions to follow you. Yeah, so you led in the accurate doctrine, in accurate rejoicing, in accurate praising, then your emotions came in. Do you understand? Right? But not the one that, no, you are now crying, you now want God to pity you, you now compose one song out of pity, you know, Lord, pity your child. Lord, you said there is deliverance. Lord, pity your child. You know, see, that is your emotions leading you. Yeah, what should it be? Your accurate doctrine comes to the forefront, your emotions can follow suit. Why? Because you see, your crying is not what is going to make God change his mind, or it's not going to make God change his mind, or it's not going to make God pity you, right? Because God doesn't even look at you as that which needs to be pitied, and God looks at you as that which needs to be envied, right? Envied by who? Envied by those who don't have the Spirit in you, in them. Right, but you are one who has the Spirit of God, and that is your permanent reality. That's your eternal state. You are forever God's very own. You are forever God's very child. So it means that you wake up in the morning, regardless of how you feel, your song should be songs of rejoicing and praises on account of what he has done. Well, not what your husband did to you. Well, not what your wife did to you. Well, not what your friend did to you. Well, not what your fellow church member did to you. Well, not what your pastor did to you. Well, it's going to be that what has God done that actually has made me who I am? Yeah, so you'll be among those who will rejoice and what count themselves worthy, right? Yeah, so they should count themselves worthy in that context is in relation to the fact that they were flogged, and they were flogged on account of the persecution they were going through, which is on account of preaching the gospel. But what I'm trying to say is, you take that template into every aspect of your life, right, and you sing his praises. Yeah, so every praise they would have sang after being flogged will not be emotional led, right? Will not have their emotions leading. Yeah, so see, could their emotions come in? Yes, their emotions could come in altogether. Their emotions could come in, right? But their emotions will not lead. Look at Acts chapter 16, verse 25. Another very beautiful example, right? Look at Acts 16, 25. Are you there, Vigono? Yeah, look at Acts 16, 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas, they prayed. You see, dear saints, Paul and Silas will be an example of the saint that needs to pray regardless of the situation. All together, right? You see, that they prayed in the real sense. You know, we don't have the details of what they were praying for. Yeah, but look at it carefully. Let's even go to the other part. Would you suggest that their praises will be in regards to what they were going through? Well, more often than not, I think it will be no. Would you also suggest that their praises was something they were doing so that God's head will swell then act? Well, I don't think so. Yeah, so at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. Mind you, these are men who were by default given to prayer. So they are given to prayer. Jesus was saying, men ought to pray and pray always. Right? You see, don't let it be when you go through challenges that you get yourself into the prayer mode. Right? Some people, you see them only in the prayer mode, or when they are prayer machines, only when things are going south. Are we together? Right? No. See, prayer should be your default, right? It should be something you do consistently, right? Giving of thanks, something you do consistently, right? Yeah? So, if you look at 2 Thessalonians, let me show you that quickly. 2 Thessalonians, that's not... did I say 2 Thessalonians? I'm sorry, go all the way to... First Thessalonians 5, if I'm not mistaken. Look at First Thessalonians 5. Right? Look at verse 14. First Thessalonians 5, 14. Look at verse 11. Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord. Those are your pastors, your leaders. And we admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love. Right? For what? For their work's sake. altogether, there's a lot to unpack there, but that's not what we're tackling in this series. And be at peace amongst yourself. Now look at verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all men, right? See that none renders evil for evil unto any man, but ever allow that which is good but among yourselves and to all men. Now look how this is. Rejoice evermore, right? Pray without ceasing. Look how it says, in everything, give thanks. So praying without ceasing, in everything, give thanks, is the same thing. Let me say it differently. No, it's not the same thing, right? Praying without ceasing, right, is as good as saying in everything, give thanks, or give thanks without ceasing. Do you know that a lot of believers actually think that pray without ceasing is actually talking about, they actually think that word there, ceasing there, is the word that talks about winter, summer. Right, season. But you should look at it in your Bible today, right? So it says, pray without ceasing. It says, rejoice evermore. Right? See, look at it though. Do you suppose that the disciples or the apostles that were flogged were acting out 1 Thessalonians 5? Yes. Mind you, 1 Thessalonians 5 would not have been written at the time, but they knew to rejoice forevermore. Right? They were flogged, they came out, they rejoiced and continued their work. Right? And what do you think happened? They continued teaching. They taught daily and prayed daily, right? That is, they prayed without ceasing. Yeah, then what happens? They gave thanks, right? In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Are we together? So go back all the way to Acts 16, right? So Paul and Silas will be acting out 1 Thessalonians 5, rejoice forevermore, right? So they are in the prison and they rejoice forever. Now, this is a Paul who would have been in prison or been captured severally before Acts 16. Did you get that right? Yeah, right. And they'll be captured, yeah, or captured severally after Acts 16. Right, but what happened? They rejoiced forevermore, and in everything they sang praises. Yeah, so Paul and Silas prayed, they sang praises unto God, and prisoners heard them. Right, so to show it wasn't an emotional thing, right? You see, they did it together from their heart. They did it together. So, just like Acts 5, they considered what was happening to them a privilege to suffer. Are we together? Right? Now, go to Hebrews. Go to Hebrews. Hebrews 13. At Hebrews 13:15. Go all the way to Hebrews 13:15 quickly. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Now remember, I've taught you what sacrifices, you know, would mean, and what, you know, sweet smelling savour, sacrifice well pleasing to God would mean. You know, I taught you that narrative from Cain and Abel, and I taught you that as well, that, you know, what made Cain's and Abel's sacrifice to be accepted was not because he brought animals, right? And Cain brought fruit. You know, I've taught you all of that. I will see how 1 John teaches that as a love walk, right? So he says that, but by him, therefore, let us offer sacrifice of praise to God. Because there's a lot to say, like I said, last week's Wednesday, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Now, if you go all the way, now it says there's a sacrifice that is well pleasing, right? Go all the way to Hebrews 2. You know, you'd have read Hebrews chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 2, before you get to Hebrews chapter 13. Now, go all the way to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. Look at verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. So, one of the facts of what Jesus has done is that he has brought many sons unto glory. So, what will praise be? Praise will be to speak about the fact that he has done something commendable. What is that which he has done that is commendable? He has brought you into. He has brought many sons unto glory. And to make the captain of their salvation perfect through what? Sufferings. Through the sacrifice. Now look at verse 11. For both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one. Yeah, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, right? So Jesus, the sanctifier, and you, the sanctified, the Bible says he's not ashamed to call you brethren or brother. So that word there, brethren, is not male. It's not a male word. It's a word really that means that which is, or people who have the same inheritance, or those who are from the same womb, right? Or those who share the same blood. What blood would that be? The life of God in Christ. Hallelujah. Yeah, so for both he that sanctified and they who are sanctified are all of one. For which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. He's not ashamed to call them brethren. So what do? We can speak well about that. So if you are asked to give a psalm, you see, this is a psalm already, that he has brought you into his glory, right? He is the captain of your salvation. He is the one that holds on to you. You are not the one holding on to him. He is the one that cleaves to you. Yeah. So when you sing and say something good about that, you have praised his work. You've praised his name. Are we together? You've commended his work. Now look at verse 12, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren, and in the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Did you see that? I will declare my name, that is my work, my reputation, unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise. So praises to God will be found in the midst of man, that will be the men that will be saints. Yeah? That will be the church, the body of Christ, the people, the saints, the universal body of Christ. Right? So praise, like I said, will be to sing, to commend what God has done, or to sing of what God has approved. Not what I sing to be happy. Yeah, you see, that's the problem we have a lot of times. People think that praise time is to make yourself that was not happy, happy. No. Right? Yeah? No. See, can you that was... Is that the right English? Is it possible that you were not happy and you praised and became happy? Yes. What is the goal of praise? Right? You sing of his work. You sing or speak of his work. Are we together? In the middle of that, you that were not happy, if you were not happy, you can get happy, right? But what is your goal of singing praises? It is not for you. So let me say it this way. It is for you only in the degree in which you are found in him. Altogether, right? So can you sing about yourself? Yes. You can sing about yourself to the degree in which that thing about yourself you are singing out or singing about is found in him, is found upon his, in his work, upon his resurrection. Did you get that? Right? So praise is not what you sing just because you want to be happy. And that's one of the reasons that make a lot of us just think praise time is just a let loose time when people just, you know, just let loose of their lives and behave like both garage boys, garage girls, behave like, and unfortunate, yes, you are a saint, yeah? I'm not calling anyone a garage boy or garage girl. I'm saying behave like, yeah? And, well, if you have a problem with that, then I think you have so many problems, because this is 40 minutes, and that's all I've said, that you have any problem. So, anyways, well, so, we see people act like garage boys, yeah? We see people act like club boys, club girls, right? That is so pathetic. Yeah, one who Christ died for. First of all, it's something that needs to be corrected. Second of all, we now have ourselves as pastors who see those things and overlook them. Yeah, you see a guy, you see a lady, you see two guys, you see three ladies, you see four guys, you see four ladies rounding, getting around themselves, and you know, touching themselves, molesting themselves in the name of praise to our God, our Creator. For the Bible says, praise is the midst of the church. The joke is on you. Yeah, so praise is not first about you. So it is only about you to the degree in which you are found in his work. Are we together? So can I sing about myself in praise? Yes. What kind of things will I sing about myself? Oh, I'm justified, I'm righteous, I'm made holy. Yeah, that's about myself. Yeah, so I'm justified where? In him. I'm made holy where? In him. I'm righteous in who? In him. Yeah, to the degree in which I am found in that work that we are saying. So what we say, God came as a man, God died as a man, God gave his life for man so that man will become or come alive. Yeah, that's a psalm, right? God came as a man. God died as a man. God gave his life for man so that man can come alive, right? I am that man that is now alive. I am that man who has put on the garment of righteousness. I am that man who has worn or is wearing the robe of salvation. I am that man who is saved eternally. Why? Because I've come alive, because he's alive. Yeah, I've just given you a psalm, right? Well, you should actually get my name, right? And put, you know, songwriter beside my name. You know, I could always tell you, every single believer is a songwriter. Yeah, you don't have so many songs to write because you are not taught well. Or, let me say it differently, right? You can be taught well, but not paying attention to what you are taught. So, the two reasons why a believer will not have song, a psalm or a song to sing. It is one, like I've told you, when I say a song to sing, I don't mean the tune, for the tune is not heavenly, right? The words can be heavenly. How can words be heavenly? In that they align with accurate doctrine, right? The tune will depend on your knowledge or your musical know-how in the world. Did you get that? Did you get that? Right? So it means that in the real sense, right, if a believer says, oh, they say, believer, give us a psalm, and you say, or give us a song, you say, I don't have any song. Yeah, it's either you are not taught well, right, or you are not paying attention to what you are taught. Are we together? So praise is not that which, you know, praise. So, and that's what used to make a lot of people now involve a lot of things when it comes to the praise, you know, praise sessions in our gatherings. So you see a believer, for instance, or a believer who Christ died for as a minister, right? And he's rehearsing, or she's rehearsing, and she's rehearsing from Saturday or from Sunday evening till the next Sunday, right? And what the person is rehearsing is a song by a carnal person, or a carnal song, or a worldly song. Did you get that, right? Or someone who is drunken in alcohol just comes on, does a step. He staggers front and back. He staggers front and back. You too, you come to church, you now start staggering front and back. The joke is really on you. Yeah, we relate to it as of the world. So it means it should stay in the world. Mind you, you know I've said it before. There is no dance that is Christian. There is no musical tone that is Christian. There is no instrument that is Christian. Like I said, God does not prefer strings, right? God does not prefer harps, whatever you want to call it, to piano or to keyboard or to no, right? There are things, they are all of the world. What you see is not of the world. The instrument you use to give it tune is of the world. The laptop you use to produce the tune is of the world. They are all of the world. However, in the middle of that world, there are things you take and there are things you don't take. Are we together? Right, there are things you will take, there are things you will not take. Right, Paul will tell you in 1 Timothy that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave yourself. Right, there's a way you will behave yourself. There's a way that when we see you behaving in a certain way, we will know that you are being influenced by the world, definitely, and you've absorbed the world properly. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Right? So it's very important that we know where we draw the line. We know where we draw the line. Right? Like I always tell you, right? You can know where an activity or a pattern or a process or whatever can start, but you really might not be able to tell where it will end. Are we together? Well, look at Revelation 5, verse 9. Revelation 5:9. Are you there? Look at Revelation 5:9. It says, and they sung a new song, right? Right? And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongues and people and nation. That's a song. And he has made us to be. You have made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. That's troublesome, really. And we shall reign on the earth. Well, and they sung a new song. So, you see, those were the lyrics of the song that they sang. Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign in the earth. Look at chapter 15, Revelation 15, verse 3. and they sing the song of Moses, right? So did Moses hand over songs as well? Yes. Did they know the song Moses handed over? Yes. Did they know the tune Moses would have used to sing the song? Nope. Yeah. So, and they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty." Is that a song? Yes. "Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy, for all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest." But together, yeah. So if you go back into Moses' writing, you find out that this is a song of redemption that Moses and his people would have sung. Are we together? Right? So what exactly is the most important about our singing? Like I've told you over time, what is said, right? Go all the way to Colossians. Let me show you something in Colossians, yeah? Colossians 3. Looking for something here. Colossians 3. All right, look, Colossians 3 and verse 16. Yeah, Colossians 3 verse 16. Look at that carefully. Colossians 3 16. Right, it says, "Let the word of Christ." Now that word is going to be the message of Christ. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you." Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. That means allow the word of Christ to dwell richly in you. Allow the word of Christ to dwell richly in you. Look at that carefully again. Allow the word of Christ to dwell richly in you. Right? In all wisdom, right? Teaching and admonishing one another in what? Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Singing with grace in your heart. So how do you know a spiritual song? It will be a song that will reflect the word of Christ or the message of Christ you've allowed in your heart. Right? You know, some of us can be very, very funny. Right? Nowadays, we now have things what you call spiritual chants. Right, and someone picks the mic, and all they are saying is "Hey, oh, hey," and people are wailing, and people are crying, and people say that's the sound of heaven. It's not true. 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 Yeah, it's not true. What we have is message. What is the message on? You tiring in the place of prayer for 7 hours to come and tell us, like, what does that really mean? Like, if we want to go to the forest, well, say, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, right? See, you realize that it's when you don't have too much word of Christ in you, you'll be looking for and you are crying, you are wailing, and you say spiritual. You see, that chance just does something to you. That's what happens, yeah, when you allow your emotions to lead you. You see, the disciples, our apostles, were not flogged and came out with chants. If they have come out with chants, it will be an emotional lead that they would have been having. You understand? But they will come out with what? Rejoicing. They will come out with rejoicing. They will come out with words, speaking words, praising, you know, that work which he has done. You see, does not say anything about the work Christ has done. Yeah? Does not say anything about what God has made you in Christ. Does not say anything about the responsibility you have as a believer. Did you get that? Yeah? Yeah, did you get that? Right? So we don't just get your emotions all worked up for nothing. Right? Oh, there's this chant. There's this chant. And you know, anytime I chant it like this, things happen. Yeah, try to do without chant. You see, don't let me get troublesome. Well, let me not get troublesome this evening. Well, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. I don't know what. Well, teaching and admonishing, not with whom. I'm still there. Oh my goodness. No, so I say, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now, some people explain that, chant is, I'm sorry. I'm not laughing at anybody. I'm just laughing at the concept. The concept is just very funny. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom. Go to Ephesians 5:19. I can't imagine Jesus in wilderness. And what Jesus is, after 40 days of fasting, is to be doing, I can't imagine Paul. So imagine Paul and Silas were chanting. We don't have that record. Yeah, look at Ephesians 5:19. Yeah, so it says, look at verse 18. Look at verse 18. Ephesians 5, verse 18. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now, if you've listened to me for a while, you would see that I've taught you what it means to be filled with the Spirit. And I've told you what the difference between the Spirit within and the Spirit upon. And we said that the Spirit within speaks about the Spirit that you've received that can never leave you. That's the Spirit of salvation you've received eternally. Now, Spirit upon will be to take from the Spirit within and place upon. What that really means is that you will do something that another will see, and will see that as the work of the Spirit, right? Or the voice of the Spirit. So Acts 2 says they were filled with the Holy Ghost, right? That same thing as Ephesians 5:18. They were filled with the Spirit, filled with the Holy Ghost. So when he said they were filled with the Holy Ghost, the Bible says they began to speak. So it means there was an action that was done that will make a third party see and say they are filled with the Holy Ghost. So you've taken from the Spirit within and you've put the Spirit upon. It's not something you do with cup. No, you don't do it with cup. Yeah, it just really means take an action by the Spirit. Simple. Yeah, so look at it again. It says, be filled with the Spirit speaking. Yeah, be filled with this. So it means when you speak, and we see you speak, and we see your song, and we see your spiritual song, we see you were filled with the Spirit. Yeah, you took from the Spirit within and put the Spirit upon. Yeah, so it says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Yeah, what do spiritual songs mean? Spiritual songs is, don't forget, you don't have what you call the gospel chant, gospel sound. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Right? There's no tune like this that we have record of. I would say this tune is heavenly. Right? There's no tune you play on the piano that when you touch it like this, you say that's no. We need to grow up. Yeah? So speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual song. So how do we know your song is spiritual? We listen to the lyrics, we don't listen to the chants. Yeah, we don't listen to the vocals. Yeah, we don't listen to the instrumentals. We listen to what is said. Speaking to yourself, look at verse 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, giving thanks. Hallelujah. Right? So how do you speak well? Yeah, you speak well by Colossians 3. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. So you allow the word of Christ to dwell richly in you. Yeah, you see, you can't allow words dwell richly in you and the product is chant. No. You can't allow, if it is word or it is the message of Christ that dwells within in you, what we will hear when you speak or when you vocalize anything on praise to his name is going to be words from what he has done, from what you've learned. Yeah, not you. Some people can just be very funny. You see some people stay for 4 hours and they're just doing like all those sounds they make to, as when you're approaching, you know, a graveyard or something like that, maybe you want to get someone scared. Like, that's not scripture. That's not in the Bible. Are we together? You see, are there times when you can get yourself into, you know, get yourself just basking in God's love and you just start humming? Yeah, well, You must just admit that that humming is just a reflection of your emotions. But in humming, you've not done praise. God said, oh wow, I can hear the sound of their home right from that tabernacle. No. Yeah, you know, I've been saying this for weeks. I've wanted to tackle this for months, but maybe today is just that day. Yeah, maybe I don't know what happened, but maybe today is just that day, right? So God will see. So let the message of Christ dwell with you. It didn't say chant to yourselves no, it says speaking. Right, so it means when you speak, you will hear the message that you've allowed to dwell in you. When you you can't say is giving thanks to God. Where did that sound come from? I just hope nobody has sang a song that has gone to studio for 5 minutes and done. Well, I know that there are similar songs like that, but I don't pay attention to that. But you know, speaking. You see. If it is tongues you are singing in and putting melody on, it's totally different from what does that really mean, right? Mind you, if it is tongues, nobody re-echoes your tongues. Do you understand? Some people say, chanting is a subset of tongues. Like subset what? If you want to go to mass class, go to mass class. You don't need subset. Like, I don't understand. Somebody is standing in front of you and say after me, say and you too, you say the subject of tongues. Are we together? Well, go all the way with me to 1 Corinthians 14. Pray for me. 1 Corinthians 14, because I might still do today. Look at 1 Corinthians 14. Praise Jesus. Wow. Well, so go all the way to verse 2. 1 Corinthians 14, 2. It says, for he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men. Yeah, so you cannot say chant is a subset of tongues and man can repeat what you are saying. There is no difference. So if you say the subset of tongues, it means that you dare not accuse a man who teaches another man how to speak in tongues. Right? You know, people teach other people how to speak in tongues by, say after me, a proskina ban the key. And person say a proskina. Do you understand? People do that. Yeah, you dare not speak against those people if you are born. He that speaketh in a tongue speaketh not unto men but unto God, for no man understandeth him. So it is because no man understandeth, he's speaking unto God. That is why you have interpretation for a man to understand. Are we together? I'm going to jump into this on Sunday properly, but look at verse 14. Let me show you something. Look at verse 14. For if I pray in tongues, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Do you understand? But yet, some of us want to chant in tongues and let somebody repeat after it. Yeah? But my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. Right? I will pray with the understanding. So, I will pray in tongues and I will pray in the understanding also. Look at verse 15b properly. It says, I will sing with the Spirit. So, what will pray with the Spirit mean? It will mean tongues from the Spirit, or tongues by the utterance of the Spirit. Yeah? And what will sing with the Spirit mean? It will mean sing or songs with or by or through the utterance of the Spirit. Then I will sing with the understanding also. Yeah? So it's easy for someone to assume that sing with the Spirit will mean your spiritual songs will be doctrine well spelled out. Yeah, but in the real sense, the next line tells you, I will sing with understanding. You see, that doctrine well spelled out is the understanding. Yeah, so it means you can sing in the Spirit or sing with the Spirit and bring an understanding to the voice or to the heart or to the understanding of a man. All together, right? So I will sing in the Spirit. Look at verse 16. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupy the room of the unlearned? What is occupy the room of the unlearned? What a figurative way of speaking about, you know, those who don't understand these things that are in the midst of you. Yeah, he calls it the room of the unlearned. How can they say amen at the by giving of thanks? Right? So it means when we come together, there's time for singing in the spirit, there's time for singing in English, in understanding for us. Yeah. You understand? Yeah. So he says, how shall he that occupied the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understanding not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not what? Edified. The other is not edified. The other is not edified. Look at verse 18 carefully. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all, yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding that my by my voice and my teach. Right, than 10,000 words in what unknown. So what was he saying? Don't forget from verse 2, he says when you speak in tongues, you speak mystery. Man doesn't understand it, but you interpret it. Right, so it means we can sing in tongues and sing in English. So there should be times in our praising, in our worship time, where you know the person who is leading us will say, just lift up your hands. I'm going to get to lift up your hands. Eh? So the singers, minister will say, lift up your hands and sing in the Holy Ghost. Give praise to God in the Holy Ghost. And you can just start with what? Putting your tongues into a tune. You see, mind you, the tune does not need to be a logical tune that is relatable to the mind of man. Yeah? You can now put a logical tune that is related to the mind of man when you bring it into interpretation. So let me give you a quick example. You know, praying in tongues, look at it though. Kafrosh kinamat kinamoski frapatanaga. Ijogenemasi frakanemopritanashigenavasapopri katanivuspa. You see, that what I just said right now is still the tongues that we use when I'm doing tongues interpretation. And it's the same tongues I will do, I will use when I'm singing in tongues. Right, so look at it. So if you are musically inclined and you're saying I'm singing off key, you are really, really truly on your own. You are really, really truly on your own. Yeah, now, but can you really sing in tongues and sing on key? Yeah, so what will be on key? It is the music melody that is at the background of what you are saying in tongues, not that tongues is on key. Yeah, well, tongues will be on key just because the music vehicle that is carrying it is on key. Are we together? So what is Paul saying? Paul is saying that I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with my understanding. I will sing with the spirit. I will sing with my understanding. If you go all the way to all right, well, okay, go all the way to verse 15 again. Go back to 15 again. He says, what is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Now jump to verse 17. For thou verily givest thanks well. All right. See that. Okay, let's read again from verse 15b, where it starts from, I will sing, right? So look at that again. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupy the room of the unlearned say amen? That is when you bless God in tongues. How can those who occupy the room of the unlearned, that means those who are idiots, those who are ignorant, not new, or do not understand what is happening, how can they know when to say amen, or how can they respond? So they say, how can they relate or interact? Right? Seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest. But he says, regardless, for thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. So it means that there's a way, that it means that when you sing in the spirit, you give thanks well. When you put tongues into vocals, into melody, into singing, but look at it now. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 17. Thou verily givest thanks well. That means you've done well. But the only thing is that when you are in the middle of the saints, the order is not edified. So dear ministers, right? You singers looking at me, you ministers looking at me, right? So there'll be times in our fellowship where in our meetings where you will sing in tongues on the mic. People are singing in tongues as well under their breath. And in the real sense, you will sing in tongues on the mic, then actually interpret what you sang. Yeah? So it's just going to be an offshoot of tongues and interpretation. Right, so if you can do tongues interpretation, you can do singing and interpretation. That is singing in the spirit or singing in tongues and interpretation. altogether. So it means that there will be times in our meetings, yeah, where you would have some songs. In the real sense, you will sing. Don't forget, you as the man is responsible for how well or what you communicate as the interpretation, right? What is being said by the Spirit is by God's Spirit. Right, it is not wrong, cannot be wrong. However, man can make a mistake in interpreting, or man cannot be well knowledgeable. So how do you expect a minister to be well knowledgeable, or how do you expect a minister to give accurate doctrine when he sings in tongues and wants to interpret his tongue so that we can sing with him or her? Yeah, it is Colossians 3. That's a secret. Yeah, I just gave you a secret. Colossians 3. Let the message of Christ dwell richly in you. So it means that you are a saint who feeds and feasts on what has Christ done. Day in, day out, morning, noon, evening, night, midnight, early in the morning, late at night, you feast on what Christ has done. Yeah? When you feast well on what Christ has done, when we ask you to come and sing in tongues and interpret it, we will just see it flow. Why? Because you've allowed the riches of his word to envelop your heart, the riches of his word to envelop your mind, the riches of his word to envelop your thought system. So when you give an interpretation to what you sang, it will make sense. Yeah. So look at it this way. How do you know a song is from the throne of grace? You know a song is from the throne of grace when you hear what is being said. It will mean that the message of the song will deal with all that there is to the throne of grace. Are we together? Yeah? Are we together? Right? So you don't need to announce, say, oh, dear saints, why don't you just give praise to God today? You know, there's a song from the throne of grace that God just gave to me last night. Yeah, when you sing it, we will know who gave you. We will know who gave you. Just sing it. Just hit the nail on the head. Sing it. We will know. You don't have to polish it. Sing. You see, the song I'm about to give you right now is a song of the Spirit. When you sing it, we will know if you've allowed the message of Christ to dwell richly in you. Yeah? Are we together? Right? So, we see your expression of your interpret. Don't forget, he that giveth things in tongues does that well. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 17. You do that well. However, the other with you will not be able to what? Might not be able to relate. Are we together? So if you sing in tongues, it is commended by God. It is something that is accepted by God, right? It edifies you. You've praised well. You've done well. So can you interpret your singing in tongues? Yes. Why? Because you can interpret your talking in tongues. So I can talk in tongues, I can sing in tongues, and I can interpret both of them. It is for every believer. So every believer can speak in tongues, can interpret their tongues, can as well sing in tongues, and can as well interpret their singing in tongues. Are we together? You see, when a man sings in tongues, and the songs that come out from his tongues is over the bar. You know what over the bar is? Yeah? When you try to aim the goalpost, right? And rather aim the goalpost, your ball goes all the way to throwing. Yeah? Hallelujah. Yeah, that's over the bar, right? You see, when you interpret your song and it is over the bar, eh? Your tongues that you first sang is correct. You've done well, though. Yeah, because you really, really, truly, you've given well or given things well. You've done well. Yeah? You see, you can't talk in tongues amiss. Do you understand? Yeah, tongues is the language of the Spirit that when you speak it, so that's why, you know, I always tell you, when you see people pray for their enemies to die, you know what happens a lot of times in those, you know, when we used to be in those settings as well. You see, a lot of times, once the man leading or the lady leading gives the prayer point, what happens? We switch to tongues. You see, you are not validating that prayer in tongues, no matter how much you shout. For when you pray in tongues, you see, when they say, we're going to pray today, everybody that is disturbing my family, what are you living for? Die by fire. Everybody say, die by fire. And before you know, you start doing prashkinamas, ginabanabranama. You see, your prashkinamas, ganabragana is nothing about die by fire. You've left die by fire behind. You've gone ahead in the language of the Spirit. Do you understand? So same thing with tongues. So when you give things in tongues, you've done that perfectly. Yeah, But when we see the interpretation, because you have a mind, that is where things can go south. That is where things can go over the bar. That is where you can miss it. Do Do you understand that? That is where you can miss it, right? So when you see someone sing a song right now, and the song, you know, we have so many songs that mean so many things and can mean so many things. And well, if they sang in tongues before they gave it, their tongues, they've done it well. But the interpretation is to the degree in which they've allowed sound doctrine to envelope their hearts. Are we together? Are we together? So what will singing in tongues mean? Singing in tongues will mean to what? Give a tune, right? To sing or give a singing melody or a melody, so to say, to your tongues, right? To your tongues. Are we together? Are we together? Right? So can you sing in tongues alone and end there? Yes. You've done well. But when we come together as saints, as a music minister, right, what can you do? You can sing in tongues in the mic, and when you sing in tongues in the mic, you give us the lyrics from the Spirit, then we learn the lyrics from the Spirit, then the music team can give you a backup to, just so that we are all on the same beat, on the same tune, same count, same voice, same key, and all those things, right? Then we can now sing with you. Eh? But it is not that your interpretation that made what you sang in tongues well. Eh? Your singing interpretation is not what makes your singing in tongues, or does not, it's not what validates your singing in tongues. For when you sing in tongues, thou verily giveth thanks well. Right? Giveth thanks well. Are we together? Are we together? So it means that by saints, when we come together as saints, we can have believers meeting where, you know, as a believer, you sing in tongues and you interpret your tongues, right? Mind you, when we get to interpretation of tongues, don't say you don't have a song. You know, a lot of times, when we say, give us a song by the Spirit, when you hear a believer say they don't have a song by Spirit, more often than not, I've realized that what they really mean is that they don't have a musical tune to give what they can sing. That's what they mean. Yeah, but like I told you, what is more important? Yeah, you see, not everybody in the church will be musically inclined. That's just the truth. It's just the basic truth. It's just the basic truth. In fact, to a very large extent, if your church, maybe you're a church of 1,000 and 1,000 of you are musically inclined, it says something. It really just says that you've done a bias in this church that makes it only musically inclined people to come around. Yeah. Yeah. Well, or it could be coincidental, but 1,000 out of 1,000, that's a huge coincidence, right? So what am I saying? It means you looking at me right now, you have a psalm, right? Like, ask you to give me a psalm. You can give a psalm right now. You can give psalms from now till tomorrow, 100 and non-stop. You won't shake. You won't nothing. Nothing is moving. You are there. You give 100 psalms, clean, yeah? And you write it down. What happens? We go and look for a brother Joshua. We go and look for a brother Sam. We go and look for somebody that knows music. Eh? We go and look for, you know, and just look for someone who knows how to get teams together. And guess what happens? The person now what? Can now give you team for what you gave as a song of the Spirit. Dear saints, the team the person will give you is not the team of the Spirit. The person can give you a tune because the person knows at least a little about music. Yeah? So, not the one that you sing one song like this, another person sing another song, but because the tune of the other song is more musically inclined, I say, this is the godly... No, no, no. Every single one of them, as long as you see the lyrics, the words that are spoken, have the riches of the message, the doctrine of Christ, those are spiritually sound songs. Guess it, you know, you're going to give yourself yet more to, you know, spiritual songs, the songs of the Spirit. And also give yourself yet more to, you know, singing in the Holy Ghost, singing in tongues. For, you know, when you do that, you're actually giving thanks well. You are saying that which needs to be said, and you are saying it accurately. You are doing that which is perfect. You are doing that which is accepted. You are doing that which is whole, right? Yeah. So give yourself to the singing in tongues, and also give yourself yet more as well to the interpretation of tongues, especially when you have other believers or other people around you. Why? So we can all flow together, right? So we'll give ourselves in days to come to singing. We'll give ourselves in days to come to rejoicing, right? And we'll be sure to know that we will allow the work of Christ be that which leads us, and not just our emotions. And we are proski vroneshki onesi fropina ka kroze vronenashki okros iprotan nazovri okoti krosis apanena voshe. Yes, we will allow the doctrine, the message, the accurately divided word of truth be our lead. And we allow that to give, you know, that pathway for us to follow. And in the middle of that, we'll find out that, yes, our emotions are lended to that. We'll find out that proski and of rich common is pro tender zeivro, eprakan giska protege. Yes, we'll find out that we'll give ourselves to laughing. Find out that we'll give ourselves to tears, to crying. We'll find out that we'll give ourselves to, you know, the movement of our body in a rejoicing format. But we would also realize that what matters really is what is being said. And we'll actually find out that whilst we give yet more songs in the spirit, right, we'll go back yet more and talk in tongues and give yet more songs in the spirit by the spirit and give rich word songs so that the saints can follow and follow suit. And actually we'll see that, you know, the praise that God expects that the believer should give will be the praise that is what accurately, you know, and built on the foundation of God's word. And you and I would actually allow the word of truth to dwell in our hearts, to dwell in us richly. We allow that which God has done, the work of his resurrection, the work of his spirit that he has put in you, the work of his redemption, the work of his saving grace, the work of his saving plan. We allow the doctrine of that dwell rich in our hearts. I will talk about yet more the forgiveness he has given us. Yes, yes, yes. We'll talk about yet more the joy he has given us. Yes, yes, yes. We'll talk about yet more, you know, the righteousness he has given us. And we'll talk yet more about the deliverance that we receive from the bondage of sin and death, you know. And in days and years and months to come, you know, things might not always go as planned, right? But we always remember that there is that one thing that has gone as planned, which is what? The work of the resurrection. He has brought you, who was once fatherless, into his kingdom. And he says, I am your father. Now, do well to dwell richly on that message. Do well to dwell richly on that fact, because really, it's more than a fact, it's the truth. It's that which God has made of you through the resurrection. Hallelujah. Well, it's been a pleasure to bring God's word your way today. It's been a troublesome evening for me. I don't know what got into me, but well, pray for me. It's been a very troublesome evening today, and I hope you've been instructed by that. I'm going to continue this on Sunday. I'm going to touch what I touched in today.